They say that when we go through a global crisis of this nature, economic crisis, health crisis, really a crisis that is so massive and so big, global in nature, they say that, maybe you've heard this saying, that an economic crisis or a health crisis can make or can break you. And what that means is that if it breaks you, you spiral downward and you enter into a place in which you cannot recover from. If it makes you, then you leverage the crisis to become better off than you were before. And there's some truth to that, but one other thing that a crisis of this nature, a global crisis, does is it also reveals you. There's aspects inside of you that come to the surface that would not have otherwise been visible or known, but the pressure of the crisis, the stress of the crisis, things come from underneath the surface, from within us, and they produce in us things which we would not have otherwise known. Similar, maybe I would ask those of you who are watching at home, what has come to the surface in this crisis? Being isolated at home, being told by government officials to stay home, by the federal government and local government. A friend of mine recently called me and asked how we are doing. We're at home with the two girls. I'm now working from home. And they called to ask just to see how we're doing. And, you know, I explained how I was doing, asked how he was doing. And his response was this. His response was, we have days in which we get together with the family and it's like my wife feels like we're living apocalyptic times. And she comes to me and says, honey, we need to get our lives straight. We need to repent. There are things that we need to get in order, because what if this is the end? And what if Christ is going to return at any moment? And he says that they vacillate from that to moments of agitation, moments of uncertainty, moments of fear. And it's almost normal to go through these vacillating, you know, emotional states. And, you know, there's the frustration of being cooked up at home, if you will, and figuring out how to do life, how to adjust to this new normal. And so some things that may come to the surface, we may feel overwhelmed. We may be in despair. We may feel abandoned even. We may feel as if the world as we know it is losing control. And what God wants to do in us as children of God, whenever the world is losing control, he wants to gain greater control of our hearts for those of us who are believers. But in all of this fear and all of this anxiety and all of this even dread, there is also hope, there is also faith, and there is also love that can be manifest by the people of God. And so I would ask those of you who are at home watching, what has come to the surface? What has God revealed about you in these difficult, unprecedented times? I want you to imagine for a second that things were worse, or are worse than they actually are. And we don't know how things are going to be headed. The projections, there are some somber projections. There are projections this may take months, maybe years. There are all kinds of projections. Maybe this will mutate. Maybe this will have effect upon the normal life as we know it in ways in which are unfathomable and unimaginable. But I want you to imagine for a second that we were meeting here, and the 10 of us that are here in this building without the fellowship of believers, imagine that we were here because the church was being persecuted. Might not be that far off. But imagine that we were going through persecution and through suffering, and those of us who are here were almost like an underground church. Now, for some of you that are at home, those of you who are at home, maybe some of you lived circumstances like this not too long ago in Romania, right? Wasn't my generation, but our parents, our grandparents went through some of this type of crisis. What happens in this crisis that is similar to what we're going through is there are restrictions and there are limitations that are put upon us that are out of our control. And one of the main restrictions and the difficulty that we're finding in being the church in these times is the fact that we can't gather as believers. The lifeblood of the church is actually in us coming together in fellowship, being present together, the word of God being spoken and taught, and us having fellowship together. Now, it's true that the micro church, the family, is kind of like a micro church, functioning at home. And probably many of you have spent time in prayer, have spent time singing songs, worshiping, reading the Bible, and hopefully you've done that. But still, it's not the same. It's not the same as coming together. Now, in this vein and in this thinking about what if things were worse, what if we were being persecuted, what if we were suffering for our faith, and like I said, might not be far off. We can imagine a future like that. But the Apostle Paul, in such a context, writes to us in 2 Corinthians 4. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul was thinking, what his perception was of the circumstances around him when he was going through something much more difficult than what we're going through. Listen what he says here. Listen what the Apostle Paul says. He says, if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So I asked, what is revealed? What comes to the surface? Well, the Apostle Paul says that we have a treasure within us. We have a treasure in earthen vessels that is the excellence of the power that may be of God and not of us. For we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also, who lived, may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death, the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So the Apostle Paul's perspective was, when his world was out of control, when he was being persecuted, when he was suffering, he had the perception and the insight and revelation of God to see that there was a greater reality in his heart that God did through Jesus Christ that was greater than the world and the life conflict around him. Fascinating that he would have this perception. And he had this perception and was so grounded and rooted in the truth of God that he said that even though the world around me is out of control, God has gained such control of my heart that Christ is being manifest in literally the suffering. And think about the suffering that he was going through to the point of death. And he was saying that even in that suffering, the life of God was manifest and was visible and evident by what he was doing. And I want to quickly encourage you with this concept. The concept is this. When the life around us seems to be spinning out of control, there is a greater treasure that God put inside of us. And the way in which we can rise above the situation that we're going through is to alter our perception to see the work that Jesus Christ did in us through the gospel. If we can see that, if we can be aware of it, what happens? The life of God manifests in us, even in the most difficult circumstances, even where there's persecution, even where there's suffering. And maybe, and this is what I was thinking, I was brainstorming on this, how does the life of God practically manifest in our lives? Especially for those of us who are, you know, church members, who come to church frequently, we love the fellowship of believers. Now we're home, we're adjusting to this new normal. How is there evidence in our lives as we're meeting with our family, as we're investing in our home life, we're investing in our loved ones? What is the evidence of the life of God in us? And I would submit this to you. The first evidence of the life of God in a believer is a spirit of repentance, is a spirit of me assessing, where do I stand with God? It's almost a grace that God gives us. You know, everything that we have in the Christian life is by grace. One of the graces that God gives us is when he strips all resources away from us. When we run out of things in our lives, one of the graces he gives us is he provides himself as a last resort. What a beautiful thing. And I would ask you guys at home, if you're feeling this sense of, of maybe helplessness, maybe the limitations and restrictions that have been put upon you. Maybe you feel like you've reached a point where, you know, you have to rely upon something. What are you relying upon? Are you relying upon your fear and the cycles of fear that are put in your head by the news media, by the news outlets, or are you aware of the life of God that is in you? And one of the manifestations of the life of God in a believer or an unbeliever when he first enters into the kingdom of God through the work of the Holy Spirit is repentance. So I would ask, are you profiting from this moment to be isolated at home to seek repentance? And that first begins with your family. Are there things that you have to say to your wife? Honey, I'm sorry. Maybe there are things I've never confessed to you that I want to confess to you because I want to make things right. How about our brothers and sisters within the church? Maybe we can't meet, but we can give them a call. We can FaceTime them. We can Zoom. I've been using Zoom now for a lot of conferences and meetings, and maybe a lot of you have been using Zoom as well. How about connecting with the fellowship of believers and having this one-on-one, heart-to-heart moment of repentance and getting to cleanse our hearts and to build and encourage each other? Second way life might be manifest is through action. When Christ lives in us and the life of God is present and active in us, it moves us into action. In other words, it moves us to love people. You might be thinking, well, how can I love people when I'm isolated? Well, you can love people by protecting the most vulnerable and by listening to what the government is saying. In other words, don't think that you're invincible, and maybe you're one of these millennial groups where you feel you can be asymptomatic, and you know what, the COVID-19 is not going to affect you. Well, you know what, it can affect your grandparents, it can affect those with asthma, it can infect those with compromised immune systems. So how are we loving those around us within the church? Not even within the church, in our community, our neighbors, our friends. So we can be moved to action, and that is a sign that the life of God is coming to the surface in us. And the last thing that I would say, how can we identify that the life of God is in us and that treasure of God is being manifest in us in a circumstance like this, is we live in expectancy. Because we can be very hopeless and feel like all hope is lost. What's going to happen to the economy? One of the fears is the economy is going to be gone. You know, everything that Donald Trump built is now has been reversed. We had the greatest economy, according to Trump, ever in the history. It's excellent, you know, never been done before. And if you're fearful about your job, do you have faith and hope that God is doing, because he's always active, he's always moving. Do you have faith and expectancy that God is working even in this circumstance and situation? Do you have faith that God is going to bring the church and raise the church out of this like never before? Do you have faith that God is working all things for the good of those who love God, for the purpose of what? Being transformed into the image of God. Are we aware of these things, or have we given in to the CNNs, to the Drudge reports who are presenting us apocalyptic scenarios in order to incite fear and dread and anxiety? My encouragement for us would be for us to realize that we have in us the work of Christ that he did on the cross, that we can hold on to the promises of Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is and he's going to accomplish the promises that he said he will accomplish. And guess what? One of those promises is that he is building his church. So as we live in expectancy, you know what you can probably expect out of this? When people return to the church, I guarantee you this place is going to be flooded with people. Because if you're home right now, you're thinking, man, how I miss the fellowship of believers. And what an opportunity. Already we can see in foresight that God is going to do a work. And we have to have that faith. We have to have that expectancy. We have that trust that although I may be on the verge of losing my job, maybe he's teaching me my finances aren't as important as I thought they were. Maybe he's teaching me to lean in and to trust in him more and more and more. We will get through this. You will get through this. And the church will get through this and be stronger than ever before. Why? Because Jesus Christ is at the helm. He is Lord. His lordship and authority will guide us and direct us. Și pentru cei care vorbiți românește, vreau să vă spun, vom trece prin asta. Dumneavoastră veți trece prin asta și biserica va trece prin asta. Și Dumnezeu va fi înălțat, Iisus Hristos va fi proslăvit. Și cer ca lucrarea lui Iisus Hristos să fie mai puternică în noi decât ceea ce observăm în jurul nostru. Și dacă se simte, poate, observăm că lumea pierde control și se duce spre haos, știm că lucrarea lui Iisus Hristos în noi este mai puternică și of mai multă valoare decât orice. Dumnezeu să ne binecuvinteze pe noi, pe biserica noastră și pe toți dumneavoastră care ne urmăriți pe internet. Dumnezeu să fie slăvit. Amin.
Amin.